A shower and clean clothes would do little to alleviate the weariness he felt. But there would be protection there, help in clearing up the confusion about the blast. He hurried down the last half flight and remembered, perhaps due to the rising ash that reminded him of a note torn to confetti, the reason he'd been chasing after Cam in the first place. Rodney. His friend was locked away in IT, and his plea for help had been lost in the din and confusion of the explosion.
The explosion.
Cam. The package. The delivery. Mission wobbled and clutched the railing for balance. He thought of the ridiculous fee for the delivery, a fee that perhaps was never meant to be paid. He gathered himself and hurried on, wondering what was going on in that locked room in IT, what kind of trouble Rodney might be in, and how to help him. How even to get to him. The air grew thick, and it burned to breathe as he arrived at dispatch. A small crowd huddled on the stairway. They peered across the landing and into the open doors of 120. Mission coughed into his fist as he pushed his way through the onlookers. Had the wreckage from above landed here? Everything seemed intact. Two buckets lay on their sides near the door, and a grey fire hose snaked over the railing and trailed inside. A blanket of smoke clung to the ceiling. It trailed out and up the wall of the stairwell shaft, defying gravity. Mission pulled his chief up over his nose, confused. The smoke was coming from inside dispatch. He breathed in through his mouth, the fabric pressing against his lips and lessening the sting in his throat. Dark shapes moved inside the hallway. He unsnapped the strap that held his knife in place and crossed the threshold, keeping low to stay away from the smoke. The floors were wet and squished with the traffic from deeper inside. It was dark, but beams of light from flashlights danced around further down the hallway. Mission hurried toward the lights. The smoke was thicker, the water on the floor deeper. Bits of pulp floated on the surface. He passed one of the dormitories, the sorting hall, the front offices. Lily, an elder porter, ran by in slaps and spray, recognizable only at the last moment as the beam from her flashlight briefly lit her face. There was someone lying in the water, pressed up against the wall. As Mission approached, and a passing light played over the form, he saw that they weren't lying there at all. It was Hackett, one of the few dispatchers who treated the young shadows with respect and never seemed to take delight in their burdens. Half of his face remained unscathed. The other half was a seething red blister. Death days. Lottery numbers flashed in Mission's vision.
Porter! Get over here!
It was Morgan's voice, Mission's former caster. The old man's cough joined a chorus of others. The hallway was full of ripples and waves, splashes and hacks, smoke and commands. Mission hurried toward the familiar silhouette, his eyes burning.
Sir, it's Mission. The explosion...
He pointed at the ceiling.
I know my own shadows, boy.
A light was trained on Mission's eyes.
Get in here and give these lads a hand.
The smell of cooked beans and burned and wet paper was overpowering. There was a hint of fuel behind it all, a smell Mission knew from the down deep and its generators. And there was something else. The smell of the bazaar during a pig roast. The foul and unpleasant odor of burned flesh. The water in the main hall was deep. It lapped up over Mission's half boots and filled them with muck. Drawers of files were being emptied into buckets. An empty crate was shoved into his hands, beams of light swirling in the mist. His nose burning and running, tears on his cheeks unbidden.
Here, here!
Someone said, urging him forward. They warned him not to touch the filing cabinet. Piles of paper went into the crate, heavier than they should be. Mission didn't understand the rush. The fire was out. The walls were black where the flames must have licked at them, and the grow plots along the far wall, where rows of beans had run up tall trestles, had turned to ash, The trestles stood like black fingers, those that stood at all. Amanda from dispatch was there at the filing cabinets, her chief wrapped around her hand, managing the drawers as they were emptied. The crate filled up fast. Mission spotted someone emptying the wall safe of its old books as he turned back toward the hallway. There was a body in the corner covered by a sheet. Nobody was in much of a hurry to remove it. He followed the others to the landing, but they did not go all the way out. The emergency lights in the dorm room were on, mattresses stacked up in the corner. Carter, Lynn, and Jocelyn were spreading the files out on the springs. Mission unloaded his crate and went back for another load. "What happened?" he asked Amanda as he reached the filing cabinet. "Is this some sort of retribution?" "The farmers came for the beans," she said. She used her chief to wrestle with another drawer. "They came for the beans and they burned it all." Mission took in the wide swath of damage. He recalled how the stairwell had trembled during the blast, could still see in his mind the people falling and screaming to their deaths. The months of growing violence had sparked alive, as if a switch had been flipped.
"So, what do we do now?"
Carter asked. He was a powerful porter, in his early 30s, when men find their strength and have yet to lose their joints. But he looked absolutely beat. His hair clung to his forehead in wet clumps. There were black smears on his face, and you could no longer tell what color his chief had been.
"Now we burn their crops," someone suggested.
"The crops we eat?"
"Just the upper farms. They're the ones who did this."
"We don't know who did this," Morgan said.
Mission caught his old caster's eye.
"In the main hall," he said, "I saw... was that..."
Morgan nodded.
"Roker. Aye."
Carter slapped the wall and barked profanities.
"I'll kill him," he yelled.
"So you're..."
Mission wanted to say lower chief, but it was too soon for that to make sense.
"Aye," Morgan said, and Mission could tell it made little sense to him either.
"People will be carrying whatever they like for a few days," Joel said. "We'll appear weak if we don't strike back."
Joel was 2 years older than Mission, and a good porter. He coughed into his fist while Lynn looked on with concern. Mission had other concerns besides appearing weak. The people above thought a porter had attacked them. And now this assault from the farmers, so far from where they'd been hit the night before. Porters were the nearest thing to a roaming sentry, and they were being taken out by someone. Purposefully, he thought. Then there were all those boys being recruited into IT. They weren't being recruited to fix computers. They were being hired to break something. The spirit of the silo, perhaps.
"I need to get home," Mission said.
It was a slip. He meant to say up top. He worked to unknot his chief. The thing reeked of smoke, as did his hands and his coveralls. He would have to find different coveralls, a different color to wear. He needed to get in touch with his old friends from the nest.
"What do you think you're doing?"
Morgan asked. His former caster seemed ready to say something else as Mission tugged the chief away. Instead, the old man's eyes fell to the bright red whelp around Mission's neck.
"I don't think this is about us at all," Mission said. "I think this is bigger than that. A friend of mine is in trouble. He's at the heart of all that's going wrong. I think something bad is going to happen to him, or that he might know something. They won't let him talk to anyone."
"Rodney?" Lynn asked.
She and Joel had been 2 years ahead at the nest, but they knew Mission and Rodney, both. Mission nodded.
"And Cam is dead,"
he told the others. He explained what had happened on his way down. The blast, the people chasing him, the gap in the rails. Someone whispered Cam's name in disbelief.
"I don't think anyone cares that we know," Mission added. "I think that's the point. Everyone's supposed to be angry as possible."
"I need time to think," Morgan said. To plan.
I don't think there is much time, Mission said.
He told them about the new hires at IT. He told Morgan about seeing Bradley there, about the young porter applying for a different job.
What do we do?
Lynn asked, looking to Joel and the others.
We take it easy, Morgan said.
But he didn't seem so sure. The confidence he displayed as a senior porter and caster seemed shaken now that he was a chief.
I can't stay down here, Mission said flatly. You can have every vacation chit I own, but I've got to get up top. I don't know how, but I have to.
Chapter 48. Before he went anywhere, Mission needed to get in touch with friends he could trust, anyone who might be able to help, the old gang from the nest. As Morgan urged everyone on the landing back to work, Mission slunk down the dark and smoky hallway toward the sorting room, which had a computer he might be able to use. Lynn and Joel followed, more eager to find out about Rodney than to clean up after the fire. They checked the monitor at the sorting counter and saw that the computer was down, possibly from the power outage the night before. Mission remembered all those people with their broken computers earlier that morning at IT and wondered if there would be a working machine anywhere on 5 levels. Since he couldn't send a wire, he picked up the hard line to the other dispatch offices to see if they could get a message out for him. He tried Central first. Lynn stood with him at the counter, her flashlight illuminating the dials, piercing the haze of smoke in the room. Joel splashed among the shelves, moving the reusable sorting crates on the bottom higher up to keep them from getting wet. There was no response from Central.
Maybe the fire got the radio too, she whispered.
Mission didn't think so. The power light was on, and the speaker was making that crackling sound when he squeezed the button. He heard Morgan splash past in the hallway, yelling and complaining that his workforce was disappearing. Lynn cupped her hand over her flashlight.
Something is going on at Central, he told Lynn. He had a bad feeling.
The second way station he tried up top finally won a response.
Who's this?
Someone asked, the voice shaking with barely concealed panic.
This is Mission. Who's this?
Mission? You're in big trouble, man.
Mission glanced up at Lynn.
Who is this? This is Robbie. They left me alone up here, man. I haven't heard from anybody, but everybody's looking for you. What's going on down there in lower?
Joel stopped with the crates and trained his flashlight on the counter.
Everyone's looking for me? Mission asked.
You and Cam, a few of the others. There was some kind of fight at Central. Were you there for that? I can't get word from anyone.
Robbie, I need you to get in touch with some friends of mine. Can you send out a wire? Something's wrong with our computers down here.
No, ours are all kind of sideways. We've been having to use the terminal up the mayor's office. It's the only one working.
The mayor's office?
Okay, I need you to send a couple of wires then. You got something to write with?
Wait, Robbie said. These are official wires, right? If not, I don't have the authority.
Damn it, Robbie. This is important. Grab something to write with. I'll pay you back. They can dock me for it if they want.
Mission glanced up at Lynn, who was shaking her head in disbelief. He coughed into his fist, the smoke tickling his throat.
All right, Robbie said. Who am I sending this to? And you owe me for this piece of paper, because that's all I have to write on.
Mission let go of the transmit button to curse the kid. He thought about who would be most likely to get a wire and send it along to the others. He ended up giving Robbie 3 names, then told him what to write. He would have his friends meet him at the nest, or meet each other if he couldn't make it there himself. The nest had to be safe. Nobody would attack the school or the crow. Once the gang was together, they could figure out what to do. Maybe the crow would know what to do. The hardest part for Mission would be working out how to join them.
You got all that?
He asked Robbie when the boy didn't reply.
Yeah, man. I think you're going to be over the character limit, though. This better come out of your pay.
Mission shook his head in disbelief.
Now what?
Lynn asked as he hung up the receiver. I need coveralls, Mission said. He splashed around the counter and joined Joel by the shelves, began looking through the nearest crates. They're looking for me, so I'm gonna need new colors if I'm getting up there.
We,
Lynn told him,
we need new colors. If you're going to the nest, I'm coming with you.
Me too, Joel said.
I appreciate that,
Mission said, but company might make it more dangerous. We'd be more conspicuous.
Yeah, but they're looking for you,
Lynn said.
Hey, we've a ton of these new whites.
Joel pulled the lid off a sorting bin. But they'll just make us stand out, won't they?
Whites?
Mission headed over to see what Joel was talking about.
Yeah, for security. We've been moving a ton of these lately. Came down from Garment a few days ago. No idea why they made up so many.